We're on Daf Pei Gimel Amud Aleph on the top of the Amud. Three lines down from the top. And the Gemara's answer is Mishum Dilo Shavu Shirayu Ladod. That the reason why our Mishnah does not mention Chetzi Chetzi Chetzia in order to include the halacha of Tomei Tumas Ochlin, Mishum Delo Shavi Shirai LaDodi. The Shirim are not exact, not precise. And then, if you recall, the Gemara quotes a long brisa here about the Shir of Chatzi Pras and mentions Shtei Beitzim Chaser Kima, or according to Rav Yehuda, it's Shtei Beitzim plus a little bit. I'm saying, according to Rav Yehuda, it's Shtei Beitzim Chaser Kima, a little bit less than Shtei Beitzim. According to Rav Yossi, it's a little bit more than Shtei Beitzim. And there was a story that we learned yesterday about Rebbe, and they brought him a kli, and that kli they knew measured exactly a saw back at the time. It was an ancient receptacle. And they came to the conclusion, based on Rebbe, that the shear of a saw is a little bit more than 24 beitzim. You know, the shear of a pras is a little bit more, therefore, than 4 beitzim. A chatzi pras would be shtei beitzim, and an ode, and we said the ode was 1/20. Now, after that, we had a long, long discussion here on Daf Pei Gimel Amud Aleph about three categories of a saw in terms of the saw that was brought to Rebbe. And we had one shear of a saw, which was Midbaris, that dated back to the 40 years in the Midbar. That was the equivalent of 217 beitzim. Then there was a saw Yerushalmis, and finally a saw Tziporis. And each time, it became a little bit smaller. So Midbaris, we said, just 1 second, let me just go. Rebbe came up with the calculation of 217. And Midbaris is actually only 144. So the saw is 6 kavin. The kav is 4 lugim. The lug we said was 6 beitzim. So that means there are 24 beitzim to a kav. And a saw is the equivalent of 144 beitzim. That's not exactly up to par, because if you recall, the saw of Rebbe was 217 beitzim. So then the Gemara suggests that maybe the largest saw of Rebbe was not the saw Midbaris, but rather the saw Yerushalmis. And the saw Yerushalmis has an extra fifth. In other words, when they got to Yerushalayim, they added another fifth to the saw Midbaris. And if the saw Midbaris was 144, then the saw Yerushalmis was 173. That still doesn't give us the 217 of Rebbe's saw. But then they got to Tzipori, and they added another fifth. And that jacked it up from 173 to 207. We still have a discrepancy of 10 beitzim to reach the saw of Rebbe, because Rebbe was 217. And the Gemara tries to add the shear of Chala. The shear of Chala is 1/24. Now, in that case, what we're going to do is we're going to add 8 beitzim. Because if the shear of Chala of 207 beitzim, which is the saw Tziporis, then if we're dealing with 1/24 of 207, we end up with 8. So we're still missing 2 beitzim. So then the Gemara tries to add the V'od of Rebbe, which is 1/20. And the Gemara says that doesn't work out either, because Havi Tfei, you're going to have to add 1 over 20 to each Beitza. And then, if you're talking about going beyond 207, you're going to go beyond 217 as well. The Tosefes, the addition that you have to add to 207 Beitzim, if you're talking about adding 1 over 20 in each Beitza, is a little bit more than 10 Beitzim. And if you add 10 to the 207, you still go beyond the 217 of Rebbe. But the Gemara says that it's only a discrepancy of a fraction of a Beitza, and came into law of Beitza lo choshivle. Fine. Then, I'm just giving a review of what we did yesterday, a very superficial review. We had a Braisa that set up a Sayu Shavas as being greater than a Sum in Boris by a Shtus, which is 1/6. And we say that 1/6, if it's milabar, is equivalent to 1/5 milago, which means that it's a tosefis of 1/5. Shel tziporis yisera al yushal mishtus. Nipse shel tziporis yisera al midbaris shlish. And the Gemara said shlish deman. I don't understand what this shlish is all about. So the Gemara went through a number of possibilities as to figuring out what this shlish is. Elema, if we're going to say that when it says nimtzeis tziporis yisera al midbar shlish, it's referring to shlish de midbaris. We can't say that. Why? Because shlish de midbaris would be 400, would be 48. 48 is a third of 144, and Odfa Shitim Utlas, which would mean that we have a discrepancy between the Tziporis and the Midbaris of 63 Beitzim, which means that the Sa Tziporis is 207 Beitzim, the Midbaris is 144 Beitzim. The difference between them is more than a shlish of the Midbaris. El Shlish the Yushalmis. In other words, we're talking about an addition of a shlish to Yushalmis. Now, shlish di da, how much is a shlish of Yushalmis? Kamahavi. It's 58 minus a third. Right? 57 and 2/3. And that's because the Sa Yushalmis is 173 Beitzim. So the Odfa now is Shitim Utlas, is 63. And we said that the difference between the Sa'at Tziporis and the Sa'at Midbaris is 63 Beitzim. And now you're talking about 58, or a little bit less than 58. Ela Shlish is referring to Shlish de Tzipori. That's the only last possibility. We excluded Midbaris and Yushalmis. So Shlish de Day, what would be a third of Tziporis? Kamahavi, Shivin Nechei Chada. It would be 69 Beitzim, because the Sa Tziporis is 207 Beitzim. And Odfa now, if you're talking about the difference between the Tziporis and the Midbaris, is Shishin V'Shalosh Beitzim. So, you know, you're talking about 70 Beitzim, and now you're talking about 63 Beitzim, it just doesn't square off. So then the Gemara quotes Rabbi Yirmiya, and Rabbi Yirmiya says that this is what the Tana meant when he said, Shel Tziporis Yisera al Midbaris Shlish. Sa Shel Tzipori Yisera al Midbaris Karov L'Shlish Shalah. That the third of a Tziporis, which we said was 69, and the difference between the Tziporis and Midbaris, which we said is 63, is Krovim Zelazeh. Those two figures, 69 and 63, are very proximate to each other. U'Shlish Shalah, which we said is 69, is Karav Lemechza de Midbaris. It's very close to half of the Midbaris, which would be 72 Beitzim. So we have 69 and 72. Those two numbers are very similar, because the Sa Midbaris has 144 Beitzim, half of which is 72 Beitzim. Maskif La Ravina, this Gemara I don't think we got to yesterday. Midi Karav Karav Ktani. The Braisa spoke about a kiruv, a closeness or a proximity, can we say that it means such a proximity of a cheshbon, which is really not precise? So that Ravina is not happy with this discrepancy between 63 and 69. Elam Ravina Hachi Kama. This is what the Tana meant when he said Nimtei Shel Tziporis Yiser Al Midbar Shlish. Nimtei Shlish Shel Tzipori Beveodios Shel Rebbe. Shlish Shel Sa Tziporis. So we're talking about the Tosefis of the Ode that Rebbe found when he measured the saw. And if you take a shlish of tzipori bivi odios, and you're going to get the following. You start with 217 beitzim. That's, we said, was the shear of the midbaris. Am I correct? And now, what are you going to do? You're going to say a third of it is 72 and a third beitzim. Right? That's 72 times 3 is 217. I mean, again, I'm not using the fractions. Is yisera al mechza shel midbaris shlish beitza? Right? The saw midbaris, we said, was 144 beitzim. The saw tziporis, we said, was 217 beitzim. Half of the saw midbaris is 72 beitzim. And yisera al mechza shel midbar shlish beitza. So I'll just read to you the summary of this statement of the Gemara. He says the following, that Ravina says that a third of the tzipori saw, which has now been added by a supplemented Tosefes of the standard of Rebbe, that's going to exceed half of the midbaris by a third of a beitza. And he calculates this as follows. Rebbe expanded the saw that contains 217 egg volumes, and a third of it would equal 72 and a third egg volumes. Now half of the midbaris is 72 egg volumes. So a third of the augmented tziporin saw exceeds it by only a third of an egg volume. Now he says that the tziporim saw actually had a volume of 207 and 9/25 egg volumes. The actual amount of Rebbe's augmented saw contains 217 egg volumes, plus slightly less than this fraction over here, 18 over 25. Egg volume. So a third of the tzipori saw would approximately be 72 and 54 over 75. A third of the augmented tzipori saw exceeds half of the desert saw, not by a third of an egg volume, but by more than a half of an egg volume. So that's a problem of Tosas Dibur Maskil Yisir. All right, so this brings us up to Tana Rabbanan. Tana Rabbanan, on the bottom of Daf Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, Reishis Ariso Seichem, the Torah says that you have to give the first of your Isa as Chala, and Kidei Iso Seichem, how much is Kidei Iso Seichem? What is the nature of the Chiyuv Chala? The Kama Iso Seichem, Kidei Isas HaMidbar, the Isa that they were generally kneading back at the time of the Midbar. Kama Isas Midbar, what is the volume of the dough that they made back at the time of the Midbar? And they made it from the man. Now the man on every day was an omer, as the pasuk says, Liktu mimenu ish lefi ochlo omer ligilgolis. So how much is an omer? Dichsiv, the pasuk says, "Va'omer asiris ha'efahu." It's 1/10 of an efa. An efa is equal to 3 se'in. A sa' is 6 kavim. A kav is 4 lugim. So therefore, an efa is 72 lugim. A tenth of an efa is 70 1/5 lug, because you take a fifth of 72 and you end up with 7 1/5. So we have 7 1/5 lug. Mikan amru, shiva revayim, 7/4 of a kav, which means 7 lugim, of kemach viod. Viod means another fifth, chayeves bechal. So you have shiva revayim of kemach, and that's the equivalent of 7 lugim of kemach plus chamishis lug, shehen shisha revayim shel Yerushalmis. Right, because in Yerushalmi they added a shishis on the midos, such that the lug of Yerushalmi contains more than a lug of the Midbari, and the volume of 7 1/5 lugim Midbarium is equal to 6 lugim Yerushalmim, Shehem Chamisha Revoim Shel Tzipori. In other words, even in Tzipori they added another fifth, or right, a 6 Midbar, and so forth and so on, so that 6 lugim Yerushalmim are equal to 5 lugim Tziporim. Mikan omru, ha'ochel kemida zu hareze bari umevorach. Yeser al kain, ra'avton, and pochas mikan, mekulkal b'meo. So once again, we'll just read this in the English translation. He says the following, that how large are your doughs in order to be chayiv challah, the dough of the desert, and the dough that the Jews customarily prepared during their sojourn in the desert, when the usual ingredients of dough was man, and how large was the dough of the desert, what was the size of the daily portion of the man, and that presumably was also the size of the dough of the desert. The size of the daily omer portion of man was allotted to each person. The omer is 1/10 of the ephah. The ephah, we said, is equal to 3 saw. And the omer, meaning the size of the desert dough, was 3/10 of a saw. He says, one saw is 6 kav, one kav is 4 revias, a quarter lug, 1/4 lug is 6 beta, so therefore 3 saw is 18 kav, 72 rova, and 432 beta. Now, the desert dough was 1/10 of that, it was asiris ha'efah, and 1/10 of 432 is 43 1/3. So this is relevant to the mitzvah of Hafrashas Challah, that the dough has to be a minimum of 43. I think it says 43. I can't be sure. I think it says 43 1/3. I'm not sure. Beitza. And from this, the Chazal derived the following rule, that a quantity of flour containing 7/4 of a kav, plus a fraction of flour, is subject to the obligation of challah. So we have 7/4 of a kav, plus a fraction, which is 1 1/3 of a rova, 1/3 of a beitza. Shehein shisha shel Yerushalmis. Shein chamisha shel Tzipori. And mikan amru ha'ochel kamida zuar eze bari. If he eats as much as this measure, which is the minimum quantity, for challah is healthy and blessed. If he eats more than that, he's considered a glutton. If he eats less than that, his digestive system is defective. All right. Now we start the Mishnah on Daf Pei Gimel Amid Beis. We already have established that according to Torah law, you're allowed to carry from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid. Let's say, for example, you have Kalim in a house and you want to carry them out to a Chatzer, or from a Chatzer you want to carry them into the Bayis. So the Torah would allow such a thing. The Chacham said, you're not allowed to take from a Rishus HaYachid, which belongs to one person, into a Rishus HaYachid that belongs to another person until they set up an Eruv. And therefore, you cannot take out Kalim from Reuven's bias into the Chatzer that is shared commonly with Shimon until they set up an Eruv, Reuven and Shimon together, or all the other Dayorim. And the bias belongs to one person. The Chatzer belongs to many people, many neighbors. And even if the Bnei HaChatzer set up an Eruv, they're not allowed to carry Kalim from their Chatzer to the next Chatzer until they set up an Eruv with the next Chatzer. So you could have many people in sharing one Chatzer that set up an Eruv. If they want to carry out into the nearby Chatzer, they need an Eruv with the nearby Chatzer. Now, generally speaking, we can talk about ownership over Rishus in one of two ways. You can talk about monetary ownership. You know, I have a deed of ownership, and you can talk about the way that you use the property. So, in the case of two chatzeros and a Rishus shlishis hasmucha lehen, so let's say you have a tail, a mound, a heap, or an amud, or some sort of a pillar, which is called a rishus shlishis. O hanimseis beinam, where you have a kosel that serves as a rishus shlishis, separating the two chatzeros. Now, the two chatzeros have rights to use that rishus shlishis, like a tail, an amud, or a kosel, and that's on a monetary basis. They actually own rights to that rishus shlishis, and therefore that rishus belongs to both chatzeros, and you're not allowed to carry from one chatzer to another rishus without an Eruv. But let's say that this Rishus is situated in a way that only one of the Bnei Chatzah, one particular Chatzah, has use, has access to that Rishus. The other Bnei Chatzah do not have access to that Rishus. Then we might consider that that Rishus belongs to that Chatzah that uses that Rishus in a comfortable way. The Bnei Chatzer of the other Chatzer are considered what we call Misulakim Imena. They are completely removed from this Rishus, and therefore you could actually take out from one Chatzer to this Rishus Shlishis, because the other Chatzer is not using this Rishus Shlishis. But let's say you wanted to carry from that other chatzer into the Rishus Shlishis, that would be prohibited. So our Mishnah here is going to talk about a case where in the chatzer that belongs to one of these various structures, if this structure has a mirpeses, which is a very long area in front of the building, and there are many different dirot that open into this mirpeset, then all the members of that aliyah, of that mirpeset, have to contribute to Neiru. And Anshei Chotzer, let's read the Mishnah. You have people that live in different batim that open up into a chotzer. The Anshei Mirpeses, where you have people that live on a higher floor and they have access to a mirpeset. They have a pesach to the mirpeset. Sheshachachu velo irvu. And the members of the chotzer, or the members of the mirpeset, forgot to make an eruv. If this chotzer has a tel or an amud, which is a higher place that's near the mirpeset, so between the members of the chotzer and the members of the mirpeset, they have this tel that gives access one to the other. Then kol shegavo asar tfachim, if the omud that connects the anshe mirpeses with the anshe chotzer is 10 tfachim high, is it belongs to the mirpeset. In other words, the reshut of the mirpeset controls, so to speak, this amud gavo asar tfachim, because the members of this mirpeset use this amud on a regular basis in a very comfortable way. The Bnei HaChotzer, on the other hand, find it very difficult and uncomfortable to use and to benefit from this Amud. Therefore, on Shabbos, those who live in the Merpeset, that share the Merpeset, they can use the Merpeset, but the Bnei HaChotzer that have less access to the Merpeset are Asurim. Now, if the height of the Amud is Pachos Mikan, it's less than 10 Tfachim high, then it belongs to the Chotzer. Now the Mishnah talks about a case of Chulyas HaBar. So we're talking about a subterranean Chafira of a bar, and they surrounded the bar on all sides. Or another case is Vehasela. There's a chotzer that has a boulder in it, and Shehem Gvoim Asarat Fachin. And this boulder is higher than 10 Tfachim, and it's a very comfortable area for the Bnei Mirpeset. They belong to this Mirpeset. And that's in the case where it is 10 tfach pachas mikan. If this boulder is less than 10 tfachim high, then it really reverts to be back as part of the entire chatzah. Is bamedvar amurim bechulya shismuchal merpeses. So you have this ditch that's near the Mirpeset, and if it's 10 Tfachim high, then it's very comfortable for the Bnei Mirpeset to use. They have perfect access to this Chulya. Aval b'mufleges, if the distance between the Chulya and the Mirpeset is very significant. Afilu, even if it were gavah asar tfachim, nevertheless, it belongs to the chotzer. Because in such a case, it's not comfortable for the Bnei HaMirpeset to get access and use this thing. Ezi smucha, kol she'ena rechoka arba tfachim. So let's see if we can get a summary of this Mishnah before we start the Sugya Sagemara. He says, if you have Anshei Chotzer, the Anshei Mirpeses, and they forgot to make an Eruv, so they're not allowed to carry from the Chotzer to the Mirpeses. And now the Mishnah wants to know which areas belong to the Chotzer, which belong to the Mirpeses. Kol Shegavah Asor Tfachim LeMirpeses. Any area that's 10 tefachim high above the floor of the chotzer belongs to the merpeses. Pachos mikan lechotzer. But if the area doesn't have the height of asorat tefachim, then it belongs to the chotzer. Basically, it means that an area that's shared by two other places is considered to be the province of the area to which it is more accessible, even if it's not contiguous. Now the Mishnah gives an example. You have Chulyas HaBar VaSela, that's the outer lip, the embankment of the Chulya, VeHaSela, you have a rock that towers above the floor of the Chatzer, and now it belongs to the Chatzer. I'm sorry. Chulyas HaBar VaSela. So again, we're looking for an example of areas that are more accessible either to the Mirpeses or to the Chatzer. And we're going to have these examples of Chulyas HaBar VaSela. If they're Gvoim, Asar Tfachim, then they belong to the Mirpeses. Pachos Mikan LeChotzer. Why is that so? Because since the Mirpeset is higher up, if you have a sela, and this sela climbs up 10 tefachim, then the Bnei HaMirpeset have much more easy access to this sela. Now, what about the case of Pachos Mikan? If it's a very low Chulya or low Sela, then Lachotzer. Then we consider it as if the Bnei Chotzer have a greater claim, so to speak, they have more easy and comfortable access to the Chulya or the Bar. Now, I understand this in the case, I'm sorry, to Chulya or the Sela. I understand this in the case of the Sela. Not exactly chopping in the case of a Chulya. Chulya is subterranean. Oh, I see. We're talking about not the bar itself, which is subterranean, but the Chulya. He says in the footnote, the earth from the pit, which was piled up around the pit. So we're talking not about something subterranean, but something above the ground. So it's basically another case of a sela. You have something that is ground above sea level, in other words, above ground level, and it goes up 10 tefachim. And therefore, it's easily accessible from the merpeses. If it's less than 10 tefachim, then it's more accessible from the chotzer. So now, what is the nafkemina here that the Mishnah is addressing? Anshei Chotzer, the Anshei Mirpeses, Sheshachachu V'lo Ervu. Shachachu v'lo ervu. So you're not allowed to carry from the chotzer to the merpeses. So you're standing on a tail that has the height of 10 tefachim. And the question is, where are you? Are you in the merpeses or are you in the chotzer?
Rabbi?
Yeah?
I think if you look at the picture, well, the pictures in the art scroll,
yeah,
there's a level in between the merpeset and the chotzer, and I think that's, in fact, I think that's one of the questions, is what situation are they talking about? And that may be one of them. In other words, it's something that's above the chatzer, but below the merpeset. It's in between the two.
And tell me something, Don. Is there a text that explains this diagram?
I didn't read the whole thing, obviously, but I think the what they're trying to address, at least what I read on my own a little bit here, is the question is which situation is the Mishnah trying to address that they don't quite, we don't quite know yet. I think that's one of the issues. Even you're contemplating it, you're trying to figure out what's the situation, but the pictures seem to indicate various different scenarios, and one of them is something like a level that's in between the merpeset, which is like a second story, and the chatzer, which is a ground level. There's something in between.
Right,
like an overhang or something.
So let's take a look at the text here of number 8 and see if that gives us a little clue. He says, people whose apartments are on ground level and open directly into the chotzer, right, they are called the Anshei HaChotzer. Others have apartments situated above ground level, and those apartments open into a merpeset, and they are called Anshei HaMerpeset. Now, at the end of this merpeset, there's a stairway that descends to the chotzer. Okay? Now, with regard to the Anshei HaMerpeset, he says that we can break that down into two categories. Number one, people whose residences are in the second story of the house, above the Merpeset, and the Merpeset itself might be only a little bit more than 10 tefachim up to 20 tefachim high, and therefore the merpeset is not high enough for the people who live in the second story. So they have to descend from the second story to the merpeset by means of ladders or staircases. Yeah. So you'll see that the second floor is higher, their entranceways is higher than the merpeset. So they have to walk down ladders or stairs to get to the merpeset. That's one group of what we call Anshei Merpeses. Then we have a second group, people whose residences are on the merpeset itself, or they open directly into the merpeset. Okay, so we don't know, as you said before, Don, which group is considered by the Mishnah Anshe Mirpeses, such that the Mirpeset, so to speak, belongs to them. The residents of the Chatzer, he says, make an Eruv amongst themselves, as did the residents of the Mirpeses, but the two groups did not make a mutual Eruv. Consequently, each of these areas is permitted for carrying. In other words, the Bnei HaChatzer could carry into the Chatzer, the Anshei HaMerpeset could carry into the Merpeset, but since they didn't make a joint Eruv between the Merpeset and the Chatzer, therefore they cannot carry from one to the other. Because the Merpeset is elevated 10 tefachim above the Chatzer, but connected to the Chatzer by means of a stairway, the two areas are similar to two Chatzeros, which are separated by a Mechitza, but they open into one another. Okay? Hence there's an option of making a mutual Eruv to permit carrying from one area to the other. Okay, that's because the ladder is less than 10 tefachim. Although the staircase which connects the Mirpes to the Chatzer is viewed as a portal, as a Pesach, between the two areas, it still retains the aspect of a partition. It's still a Machitza, such that the two areas are considered separated from each other, but accessible by means of a portal. So reviewing the language of the Mishnah, Kol shegavo asara tefachim mirpeses, anything that is above the floor of the chatzer by 10 tefachim or more belongs to the mirpeset. And anything that is pachos mikan, is less than 10 tefachim from the floor, belongs to the chatzer. So again, just maybe for the third time, but let's just review this. The Anshei HaChatzer made an Eruv amongst themselves. The Anshei HaMirpeset made an Eruv amongst themselves. They didn't make an Eruv one to the other. So each area is permitted for those who made the Eruv, but not from one area to the other. Now, because the Mirpeses is 10 tefachim above the Chatzer, it is connected to the Chatzer by means of a stairway. So we have something similar to two Chatzeros that are separated by a Mechitza, but they open one into the other. So they have an option of making a mutual Eruv to permit carrying from one area to the other. So the Anshei Chatzer and the Anshei Merpeset could make an Eruv. In fact, let's say they did not make the Eruv. Now, the staircase connects the Merpeset down to the Chatzer, and that we view as like a kind of a Deles or a Pesach between the two areas. But nevertheless, there still is some dimension, if you will, of a Mechitza. And in that sense, the two areas are separated from each other, even though they're accessible by means of a Pesach. So if the Anshei HaMirpeset did not make an Eruv amongst themselves, then they generate an Iser of carrying in the Chatzer. Because even people whose houses do not open into the Chatzer, but they have the right of passage through the Chatzer, they generate an Iser on the Chatzer. Now, once the Anshei HaMirpeset make an Eruv, they no longer generate an Iser because we have a principle with regard to Schus of Drisas Regel that if they are Muteres Bimkoma is Eino Osrim Bimakom Acher, which is formulated by the Mishnah back on Daf Ayin Hey. Something that I actually learned a little earlier today. Now, if inside the chatzer there's an amud or a tail that's 10 tefachim high, but this amud is close to the merpeses, then since it has the gova of 10 tefachim, it's considered part of the merpeses area. And therefore you'd be allowed to carry from the tail to the merpeses, but not from the tail to the chatzer. Now, the Mishnah again says, Kol shegavah asar tefachim lemerpeses, and we're talking about a case in which the tail is owned in a partnership agreement between both the merpeses and the chatzer, the diorim of each. Now, in a case where, let's say, the tail is owned by the diorim of one of these two, either of the merpeses or the chatzer, then as far as tiltal is concerned, it belongs exclusively to that area, regardless of its height or its proximity. That means if there's one ownership, so the ownership, let's say, of the Loma Zogin, the Baal, of the Merpeses, that excludes that area, that tail, from the Chatzer, or vice versa. So let's just summarize the ratio of the Mishnah. The guiding principle here is that an area that's shared by two other areas is considered to be the province of the area to which it is more accessible, even if they're not contiguous. Then we get to the Seifa, which we wanted to review, and that's the case of Chulyas HaBar VaSela. So we have the digging of the pit, but the area that is piled up around the digging of the pit, and that's called like a protection of the pit, a fence around the pit, or a boulder, is Gvoim Asar Tfachim L'Merpeset. If they have the Gova of 10 Tfachim, they're considered part of the Merpeset, which would mean that if there was no Erev between the Anshei Merpeset, the Anshei Chatzer, nevertheless the Anshei Merpeset would be allowed to carry from the Chulya into the Merpeset, or from the Sel into Merpeset, vice versa. But Pachos Mikan, if the area of the Chulya Sabor, or for that matter the Sela, is less than the height of 10 Tfachim, then that area belongs to the Chatzer. So if the Bnei Amir Peset made an Erev amongst themselves, then they're allowed to carry out into the Chulya Sabor, the Sela, if that is more than 10 Tfachim high. And if it's less than 10 tefachim, then the Anshei HaChatzer made an Erev amongst themselves, they could carry out and from the Chulyas HaBar and the Sela. Bamedvar Mamurim, that only applies Bismucha, in a case where this area is proximate to the Merpeset. Avo B'Mufleges, if it's very distant from the Merpeset, then Afilu Gavoh Asara Tefachim L'Chatzer, then it automatically belongs, it's an annex to the chatzer, even though it's 10 tefachim high. Ezi smucha, kol she'eino rechoka arba tefachim. So if there's a distance of 4 tefachim between this tail and the merpeses, then even though the tail is above 10 tefachim, it's considered a separate entity and belongs to the chatzer rather than to the merpeset, despite the height of 10, because it is no longer smucha, it's more than 4 tefachim away from the merpeset. So that separation brings the the chuya or the sela back to the chutz and attaches it to the chutz. So we did the Mishnah for today.